Yeah, it's not Monday Night Football time, but it is Hank Williams Jr. time. A birthday today for Hank Williams Jr. He turns 71 years old today. Son of course, Hank Williams. You know how you know that? It's because his name is Hank Williams Jr., and so you know his dad is Hank Williams. A pretty storied career in country music for Hank Williams Jr., and of course, singing the intro for Monday Night Football for a long, long time. He was taken off for a while after some comments and then restored last year before. Hank Williams Jr., all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. 71 years old today for Hank Williams Jr. Happy birthday. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. You can find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M. Of course, SteveGruber.com. And at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter, SteveGruber.com, exclusive content, giveaways, much more. Find the podcasts from these shows, whether I'm hosting or if Steve's hosting, as usual. The podcasts are up very quickly. You can link through over at SteveGruber.com to hear anything you might have missed or hear things that you heard once and said, man, that's so good, I've got to hear it again. All that at SteveGruber.com. Georgia has been open for a while, and various states, no pun intended, of reopening, even here in Michigan, I suppose, with the Northern Peninsula and Traverse City. By the way, the Northern Peninsula and Upper and Lower Peninsula, including Traverse City. Story about that a little later on from the Detroit News. But Georgia was on the front lines of reopening. Brian Kemp, the governor there, making the decision. And there were the most dire predictions that you could imagine about what would happen in Georgia after reopening, right? The governor has blood on his hands. They're going to be stacking up bodies like cordwood. This, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You can go back and find these predictions about the death that was going to happen in Georgia because they opened up so soon. And now we're a month after the fact, more than 4 weeks after the fact, and none of that has taken place in Georgia. And, of course, those who made those predictions aren't going back to revise and say I was wrong. That's not how these things work in prognostication in the media. But some credit, and I'll explain afterwards why it's only some credit to NBC News, of all people, of all outlets, for doing a follow-up story this weekend on what's been happening in Georgia. Jose Diaz Ballart is the anchor on the weekend edition of NBC Nightly News. Here's their about 2 minutes of this piece on what's happened in Georgia over the past 4 weeks. Cut one.
When Georgia became one of the first states to reopen back in April, many said it was too much too soon, predicting a new surge in coronavirus cases. Now, exactly 4 weeks later, Blaine Alexander reports on whether Georgia's gamble paid off.
At Tony's Barber Studio, the chairs are booked, the clippers buzzing.
Does it almost feel like a normal Saturday?
Close. Yeah, it's close.
When Tony reopened his doors a month ago, he had plenty of concerns.
We were in dire straits, and we didn't know, what else to do.
Now?
I feel good about it. I was being able to go back and check with our clients and make sure 2 weeks later that they're doing good.
Is it worth it to reopen financially?
Yes. Yes, it's worth it. For me and my barbers, we all have families to support.
Last month, Georgia was one of the first states to reopen and with the most aggressive approach, allowing barbershops, restaurants, tattoo parlors, and more to welcome customers. The criticism came in droves.
I told the governor very simply that I disagree with his decision, but he has to do what he thinks is right.
1 month later, here's what Georgia looks like today. These are new cases before and after the state's reopening. Looking at a three-day average, there is no steady trend up or down. So far, no major spike in cases, as some predicted. These are new hospitalizations before and after. No major changes. Same with new deaths, though the number has fluctuated.
It's encouraging that we're not seeing a dramatic increase in hospitalizations. We're not seeing EDs overwhelmed.
But Georgia officials have admitted problems reporting new data, giving confusing numbers around testing and new cases.
They are taking massive amounts of data from countless sources. Please afford them some patience.
And many experts say that it's still too soon to get a full picture of how reopening has impacted the state.
There's NBC Nightly News doing an actual story on what's happened in Georgia. How about that? Now, I said I'd give them some credit, and actually grading on a curve, but they even mentioned it. I guess they should get a good deal of credit. But when they talked about the voices who were against reopening Georgia, they could have picked any number of commentators, literally on their own network or their sister network, MSNBC, again, talking about the bodies piling up and Governor Kemp has blood on his hands and the Republican Party is a death cult and all those things. And they choose the president, who did say that, right? But of all the people you could pick to be critical of reopening Georgia, you get the president, not the crazed people on the left who were predicting hundreds or thousands of deaths in Georgia because of reopening too soon. And the other thing to note is in the states that have reopened like Georgia, or states that have been criticized early like Florida, who now we know did a great job as compared to, say, New York State and New York City. The argument against what they're doing is they are manipulating the data somehow. And this accusation against Florida for manipulating the data has been totally blown up. I don't know the details on Georgia, but essentially they're saying they're somehow claiming that there are like hundreds of bodies being stored somewhere that no one knows about, and that they're running the numbers on that and not being truthful with their data reporting. It's a weird argument to make, but that's what they have left against these states that have been successful in reopening thus far, like Georgia. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show.
An important message from Jerry Norcia, president and CEO of DTE Energy.
The coronavirus pandemic is challenging all of us, but it's especially important to support our neighbors in need. While our dedicated DTE employees work tirelessly to ensure reliable energy, the DTE Foundation is working with community partners across Michigan. We're providing more than 100,000 families with critical support services, including more than 1 million meals. Together, we'll power through this.
DTE. Jerry Norcia, president and CEO of DTE Energy.
We at DTE care deeply about all the communities where we live and serve. Our top priority during this crisis is the health and safety of our employees and customers. So our crews are focusing only on work that's critical to ensure reliable energy and quick response to emergencies. If you experience challenges due to medical conditions or loss of income, contact us. We want every one of our customers to have energy to stay safe and warm.
DTE.